because it's printed in the text. Our subject tonight is heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Somebody said that. I particularly am glad to get a chance to preach face-to-face to two tonight. Now, when he was in Afghanistan and listening to the computer, I couldn't tell if he was saying amen or not. But I can tell it tonight. He's an amen boy. Amen simply means so be it. It's reinforcement of truth. Hallelujah. And if you're not listening to the truth, don't say amen. Shake the dust off the ones that's dealing with it. Listen to this little poem or whatever. I've used this at a lot of funerals. Think of stepping on a shore and finding it heaven. Think of taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand. Think of breathing new air and finding it celestial air. Of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality. Of passing from storm and tempest into perfect calm, of awakening and knowing I am home. Hallelujah. I don't hardly know how to start, but here's what I want to say. This journey of faith has got a destination. And the precarious thing is that we lose sight of that destination. Honestly, mature people do not serve God just for heaven. That's the icing on the cake. Mature believers serve God for the peace that's in the midst of a storm, for the joy that can bubble up even if you're standing beside a casket, for the power that helps you to go through what you didn't think you could go through. Mature believers walk in the power of the Spirit, defying everything that comes against them, overcoming everything that challenges them, because there's a goal. We're going somewhere. Am I talking to anybody? And people want to talk about the trials and tribulations and what they're going through. When you enter those gates, all the stuff that tormented you is over with. Faded. And you're going to look around and say, this is my reward. Heaven, am I talking to anybody? Father, help us to speak the oracles of God tonight. To speak the mind of God, the truth of God. Help us to get to the point and convey the point. That you be glorified in Jesus' name, amen. On your printed text, we begin reading the first five verses. John, the apostle. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Now let me stop. That's my weakness. But maybe it's not a weakness. Maybe it's a point of clarification. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. New creation. He's the same man, but it's new. Am I talking to you? He didn't lose 30 pounds while he got changed from death to life. He didn't grow another inch taller. He got, let's say Sunday morning, he got saved Sunday morning at 11:30. And at 11:31, he's a new creature. Hello? He's the same, but he's altogether different. He's not patched up. He's not propped up. He's a new creature. This world is going to undergo a change. It's going to be renovated It's going to be burned. Hebrews chapter 1 said it's going to fold itself up like a garment. It's going to grow old. And it's going to burn, but out of the old earth, it's going to come the new earth. And y'all are so excited. Okay. Then there was no more sea. What do seas do? Oceans do? Bodies of water? They divide us. God in this new economy is going to take all the reasons of division away. We're divided into Baptists and Methodists and Church of God and all this stuff. We're divided geographically. We're divided theologically, everything. But God is going to remove all the division. And Jesus' prayer in John 17 will be fulfilled. That they be one. When you get to heaven, honey, you're not gonna look around and say, there's my Baptist brother or my Christian brother. You're just going to say, there's my brother. You're not going to put a tag in front of him, well, there's Bishop so-and-so. Everything is going to be about Jesus. Okay, let me go ahead. And there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more. Oh, that's staggering, isn't it? There shall be, somebody say it with, there shall be no more death. No more. Undertakers will be in heaven, but they won't undertake undertaking. They'll be there because they're Christians. Amen. Nor sorrow. Heaven is worth going for. Heaven is worth whatever it takes to get you there. Nor crying. There shall be no more pain. If somebody asks you what's heaven going to like, give them this list of no mores. Before you start talking about what is, just tell them, let's deliberate on what is not. What is not is all the junk that got you full of misery on this earth. None of that will be over there. We'll be able to sing, I'm free, thank God I'm free. Amen. The former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Then we move on down into the scriptures. And then he, an angel, said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must be, turn your page over, shortly take place. God wants us to know what's going to happen. Amen? Behold, I am coming quickly. Now, the real meaning there is I'm not going to come. It's not quickly like it's 12 o'clock and I'm coming at 1 o'clock. That's quickly. But when I come, it's not going to be lagging. Out of here. Amen? Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, let's go into the... Are y'all... Some people think the book of Revelation is too incredible to be true, too fantastic to be factual. Some think it is an exaggeration, and others think it is an allegory. And there's an illustration there about the dog and the cat, the little boy. Y'all... Okay. The little boy would see a cat and he'd call it a lion. He'd see a dog, call it a tiger. His mother got so perturbed with him about exaggeration, she called him in. Now, look, Johnny, your father and I have had it with this exaggeration. Next time you do this, Johnny, you're going to have to go up to your room and pray about it. A few minutes later, he burst in the kitchen. Mama, mama, come quickly. There's a lion in the front yard and the tiger's chasing it. She walked to the front window and looked out. There was a cat running across the yard with a dog chasing it. She, Johnny, I told you to go, what you would have to do. You go up to your room and close the door and pray, and you tell God you're sorry, and you wait right there until God speaks to you. Yes, ma'am, he replied. He went back up to his room. In a few minutes, he come back, and she said, Johnny, have you prayed? Yes, ma'am. Did you tell the Lord you were sorry? Yes, ma'am. Did the Lord speak to you? Yes, ma'am. What did the Lord say? The Lord said the first time he looked, he thought it was a lie. What are you going to say? Tell your neighbor, humor does not harm. The whole truth, listen now on top of page 159. Nothing but the truth, that is God's word. It's unadulterated, not mixed with somewhats, perhaps. It's solid. There are so many questions believers have about heaven that it is sometimes difficult to focus on the subject. Believers have many questions they would like to ask God about heaven. Many of these questions are answered in the Bible. God has not intended heaven to be mysterious. It's true now. He gave us the illustration of one man, Paul, that went to heaven. He gave us an illustration of another man, Stephen, that saw heaven. He gave us an example of three men that came from heaven to earth, Elijah, Moses, two men, Elijah and Moses. So he lets us know that this is a wonderful place, all right? God has not intended heaven to be mysterious. He wants people to understand heaven so that they can grasp the fact that heaven is truly real. The answer to 8 frequently asked questions about heaven will be explored during the discussion in the remainder of this chapter. Number 1, why is there a heaven? The Bible is not at all clouded about the fact that there are reasons that heaven is heaven and that God has prepared it. In every individual, there is an innate need to know God and to be with God. Every person that's born on planet Earth was born with that vacuum. People try to find out what fills that vacuum through every kind of thing you can think about. But there's only one thing that fills that vacuum. You are a God-shaped person. And until God fills your heart, you're never going to be happy. Period. You can get temporary release through many avenues, but it's temporary. But there's a permanent solution, and that is let that vacuum be filled with God Almighty. Amen? When God created man, he gave every man, every human being a spirit. Whether an individual is a Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or Confucian, there is something wired into the circuitry of every individual which is spirit. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. This simply means that God has put something of his own essence in every human being, and humans search for God. Go to the deepest part of the jungles, go to the least civilized place in the world, and you're going to find people worshiping something. There's going to be a worship of some sort, some kind. It might be profane or whatever, but that's that human heart searching. And humans search for God even though sometimes they find it in the wrong God. That is why there are so many religions in the world. Listen, religion by definition is man's search for God. Think about that. Get that in your mind. That's a good statement. Religion by definition is man's search for God. Listen, Christianity by definition is God's reach for man. Wow. We were searching for God and didn't know what we were searching for. We did not know. God was searching for us and did know what he was searching for. One of the great chapters in the Bible is Deuteronomy 32, and one of the great statements in that chapter is where Jacob says, he found me, Moses talking, relating, he found me in a howling wilderness. You can see poor old Jacob just, twisted around, but God found him. Where were you when he found you? Was your life in a howling wilderness? You had all your ducks in a row, your tie was tied right, your car was clean, and your bills were paid, but there was something, you were in a howling wilderness, and somebody invited you to church, and you went to church, you prayed. God found you in a howling wilderness. He calmed the storm down, put peace in your heart, and you hadn't wanted to look back at it. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. In actuality, all religions are in existence because man is looking for the ultimate answer to his spiritual need. In some uncivilized places in the world, this is going to be humorous in a moment. People take clubs, run out in the middle of the desert, beat on the ground and scream in the air, trying to find God. The anthropologists call that primitive self-expression. Of course, Americans do that as well. They beat on the ground with clubs and call it golf. One preacher, true story, one preacher said he had to, God convicted him of playing golf. He had to quit playing golf. He loved the game, but he had to quit playing because Monday morning was his golf day, and that was when he took his frustrations out on the golf ball. He would put the golf ball on the tee, and he said, "That's brother so-and-so," and he smacked that ball. He put another one, and he smacked that ball, and that'll get him. And one day the Lord said, in actuality, you're hitting the people. He had to lay his golf clubs down, get repentance, you know. There's better ways to take your frustration out. It is that desire to know and find God that sends men searching for some kind of ultimate state. Some people call it nirvana, the state of the extinguished flame. Others, move on in your Bible, in your printout. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. I want you to feel full. The Lord spoke to me something beautiful. No, it was not novice. It was not strange. It was not mystical or mysterious. But today, in prayer, I was praying about the Holy Ghost. Oh, how I was talking to the Holy Ghost about how badly I wanted His manifestation. You removed the Holy Ghost. You've removed everything. And I was praying. I was crying. Oh, Holy Ghost. God's put this thought in my mind. The Holy Ghost will never, ever anoint anything that's not set apart. I said, that's so simple. Whatever, if you're not set apart, what does that mean? That means you recognize that you were put on this earth for something special. You set yourself apart. That's what you set yourself apart. I am appointed by God. I am God's vessel, and God anoints what is set apart. Does that make sense? Now, to me, it just spoke volumes. Whatever I don't set apart is not going to be anointed. If I hold on to some habit, if I hold on to some lifestyle, if I hold on, whatever I hold on to is going to keep me from being anointed. Did anybody get that? So just from the head to the toe, set apart. You're set apart people. But God has openly revealed, I'm on page 160, openly revealed Himself in His Word. When people read the Scripture, they begin to understand that the Bible reveals that God made heaven for a reason. Just like everything else God made, He had logic behind it. Heaven is the ultimate answer to the quest to know God. That is powerful. In heaven, believers will not only know about Him and have faith in Him, but they will also see His splendor and glory. In every human being, there is an innate need for closure, completeness, continuation, and continuity. Heaven is about that. Heaven meets the needs for belongingness, security, affection, and affirmation. It brings all those needs together. Am I talking to y'all? And God says, this is what heaven's for. Like you enter in and say, this is what life is all about. Amen? This is what life is all about. It's not about it's not about issues and all that stuff. It's about peace in your heart. You made it through. Glory to God. Heaven meets the needs. Okay. Eye has not seen. Ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen? Why is there a heaven? It is the ultimate answer to the great need in every human being for closure, completeness, and continuity. You show me a man that's got joy and happiness in his heart, and I'll show you a man that's complete. Colossians talks about now we are complete in God, in Christ. No depletion, no lacking. So many Christians are wandering around searching for something. They're miserable. What are you looking for, brother? I don't know. I'm just searching. He said, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. A 10-year-old can find God. A 100-year-old can find God. But God help these people that name the name of the Lord and they got everything but peace. They know the theology of it. They know all the 10 toes on Daniel's vision. They know all. They can talk prophecy, but they just like something. Give me a man that's got what that doesn't like anything. He may not know Samson from Daniel, but he's robust in his faith. Whatever he does shall prosper. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, who bringeth forth his fruit in its season, and its leaf does not fade. I wish I thought I was talking to him. Okay, we're getting in theology now. How many heavens are there? Somebody want to answer that? We know there's three. That's exactly right. There may be more that we don't know anything, but we know there's three because the Bible talks about them. Who was called up to that high heaven? Paul. What did he call that high heaven? Yeah. Going past the moon, the stars, and the planet, going to walk that Milky White way. Going where the devil cannot find me. Whoa, hallelujah. I just visualized me peeping through the crack and say, ha, 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 ha. Gotcha. Hallelujah. The Bible refers to heaven and heaven 718 times in the scripture. One should keep in mind that there are only 1,189 chapters in the entire Bible, and out of those 1,189 chapters, 718 references to heaven. God wants every one of us to go to heaven. Do you believe that? He really wants every one of us to go to heaven. But he will not make a one of us go. He's not got a club in his hand. He's not beating you down. He's showing you propositions in life. He's showing you situations in life. He's showing you opportunities in life and giving you the choice to take advantage of those. Amen? That's how much he loves you. Three dimensions are referred to as heaven or heavens in the Bible. The first area that is called heavens is referred to as earth's atmosphere. Trees grow, people live, birds fly, oxygen's in the air. This is called part of heaven. It's the atmospheric area that envelops this earth. A second place called heaven in the Bible is the cosmic universe. The Bible refers to heavens when it says God created the heavens and the earth. Also in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, so all the cosmic universe that contains galaxies and far-flung billions of stars is what the Bible refers to as heavens. Third, there is a place called the heaven of heavens. Since childhood, I've heard of a heaven. I wonder if people, y'all, anybody, heaven, happy home above, heaven, land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on heaven, eternal heaven. I think I drank some out of the juice bottle. Give me another drink, Jesus. Amen. We wouldn't be the first people accused of being drunk. I think the great indictment is we're accused of being sober too long. Oh, you old sober bunch of creatures. The heaven, it is talked about in the Bible as the heaven John describes in Revelation 21. This heaven is the place where God's home is. Paul refers to this place as the third heaven. I know a man in Christ who was called up to the third heaven, called up to paradise. Paul was that man, but he was trying to be humble about giving his testimony. This is the third heaven. This is the heaven, according to Acts 1:11, that Jesus ascended to, the real heaven. This is the heaven in Acts 7:55 that Stephen went when he died. This is the heaven that John writes about and that John saw in Revelation 4:5, 21 and 22. This is the third heaven. Amen? Question number three that's asked. Is heaven a real or a mystical place? Many people have wondered if heaven is really a place where streets are gold, gates are pearl, or if God is just trying to symbolically show men that heaven is a grand and glorious place. Heaven is a real place, and there are real descriptions. The scriptures say two times in Revelation 21, 22, that both God and an angel said to John, these words are true and faithful. That substantiates it. Now listen, true means an absolute, no wiggle room. Faithful means that one does not have to guess at the symbolic meaning. What God says is what God means. God is so specific, He even describes where heaven is. The Bible said, this is good. I started to say, have y'all read this? But you didn't, unless you got the book, you didn't get the printout. The Bible says that heaven is above. Amen. Where did Stephen, when he was dying, where did he look? He looked up. Amen. When Jesus ascended, what direction did he ascend when in Acts chapter 1? He went up. Okay. The Bible says that heaven is above and to the north from earth. The Bible declares that Lucifer tried to take over and rebel in heaven and take the throne from God on the sides of the north. The Bible says in the book of Psalm that promotion does not come from the east, the west, or the south, but it comes from the Lord. Therefore, if it does not come from the east or the west or the south, and it comes from the Lord, then it comes from the north. Again, Psalm 48:2, it says that the city of the great king is located on the sides of the north. In Leviticus 1:11, when God gave instruction to Moses on killing the goat and a sheep for the burnt offering, God said, kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. Somewhere above and to the north of this planet, there is a real place called North Pole. I mean, no. That's what, Christmas coming, you're going to be, not y'all maybe, but people be telling the children, you know all that story. To the north of this planet, there is a real place called heaven. Romans 1:20 said, everything that you see is a facsimile of everything that is. In other words, the invisible realm above the earth is not some abstract, gaseous, weird kind of place where nothing is real. We go to page 162. Have I lost anybody yet? Now, I'm being very serious. I'm not, no humor in it. I feel like this kind of stuff does us good. I feel like it strengthens us. I mean, we're reading another man's notes and everything, but this man was anointed by God when he put these notes down. Whatever can be seen right here, right now, that is good is a symbol of everything God has made and everything that exists. People cannot see it all because they cannot see into what is invisible. But with God, nothing is invisible. The angels and those in a redeemed and resurrected body have the ability to see things that humans do not see. Do you remember Elisha? Open the eyes of my servant, Lord. Elisha saw what the servant didn't see. Elisha saw with spiritual vision, and the servant was looking with natural vision. If we had the ability to see, there are radio waves going through this building right now, or whatever kind of, but it's real. It's not just imaginary. If we had the proper equipment, proper means, we could see those waves. What I'm trying to say, there's a vision beyond. Amen. We know where heaven is, but what is actually there? The Bible says that in heaven there will be trees, rivers, fountains of water. Are y'all ready for this? I know some of y'all are going to really be happy. Food. Not happy over that one. The next one. Animals. Furniture, tongs, fire, coal, smoke, musical instruments, clothes, stones, books, crowns, lampstands, singing, worship, palm leaves, there must be palm trees, trumpets, keys, chains, measuring instruments, olive trees, the Ark of the Covenant, doors and posts, banquet celebrations, walls, gates, gold, pearl, diamonds, precious stone, streets, fruits, many mansions, and things without number. And there's Bible references, if you took time, that would refer you to each one of those. Sister Shirley's mother, I don't know whether I can quote it right or not. She said her preacher said his members were angels. They were always up in the air and harping about something. Isn't that kind of what you said? God bless you, angels. Everything God created on this earth before man fell and was cursed is a copy of everything God has already prepared and has in his heaven. Heaven is not an airy abstraction where ecstatic beings float around on whatever that ethereal, whatever, clouds, strum on harps and adjust their halos. It is a real place where Jesus rules. It is as real as the air one breathes. Oh, how I want to go to heaven, don't you? Hallelujah. The question is, what does the Bible mean when it speaks of a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem? Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse number 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. What does that word new mean? There are two Greek words that are translated new. One is the word kainos, which means new as in freshness and renovation. The other word is neos, which is new, means new as in age. The first word is the word, y'all notice I didn't try, is the word used to mean new heaven and new earth as in renovation and freshness. In other words, God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Not that he's going to annihilate everything and create another one, but he's going to purge this earth with fire. Peter said it's going to melt down. He judged with water with Noah's time, but the next judgment will be fire. This world will have all the stench and stain of sin burned out of it, and God is going to do the same to heaven. Why? Because the heaven in which God, listen carefully now, the heaven in which God dwells now is not the heaven believers will live in for eternity. They will have a new heaven. This earth is not the earth that will abide forever. Believers will have a new earth, which means fresh, renovated earth. Every part of this universe that has been scarred and stained by sin, as well as the hurt and pain of the past, will be purged. The former things will pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Did y'all get that? I mean, it's serious stuff, but it's real. What will people do in heaven? Question 5. Sometimes believers wonder what they would do in heaven. It might be interesting to first consider what believers will not be doing. God's people will never hunger or thirst. That's good. They will not cry, sweat, or stumble in darkness. They will not be tempted to sin. There will be no such thing as sin. God's people will not experience pain, sorrow, or grief. And they will not die. That's good. Isn't that wonderful? On the other hand, here's a list of some things believers will do in heaven. They will be in the wedding party of those who are going to marry Christ. They're going to wear fine, clean, bright clothes. They will participate in celebrations. They will enjoy eating and drinking the good things provided in heaven for them. Then the believers are going to walk around in the light of the Lamb's glory. They will learn and have fellowship with God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the holy angels, and others. Believers of all ages are going to sing and worship. Believers are also going to work for God and reign. Finally, believers are going to sit with Christ on the throne sometimes, and they will hear Christ call their names. There will be plenty to do in heaven. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. I read the illustration, said, picture a humongous diamond. Exquisite, and hold it up to the light and turn it, and every time you turn it, it gets a new vantage point, you see a difference in it. They said if you stood in front of the throne of God for eons of years and looked this way, that you would never run out of seeing the vision of it. Isn't that wonderful?